Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for starting the weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Lambert.
Would be a little weird.
Mm.
If they had a Lambert's there.
And that would be more throwing more rolls sense, right? At people. Throwing rolls at you.
Scalding hot rolls hit you in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, could you put extra burning hot butter on my roll before you fling it at me?
And bring me that pot of green beans,
just,
please.
Just fling it. Yeah, just hurl it across the room.
Hey, anybody want any potatoes?
Smack!
Just walking around with this huge pot of potatoes. Here's some potatoes.
Yeah.
I made them extra sloppy for you.
So here's what I want to pitch to you, Robbie, as an idea. We're going to have a restaurant. Great southern cooking, right?
Yeah.
But instead of we just serve everybody, we're going to throw their food at them.
Like and, just and, a food and, fight.
It's like a food fight in there. Plus, like, we don't, there's not like a buffet where they go get it. We just walk around with a big pot and be like, here's your beans.
Eat some extra beans.
Where can I give you my money, sir?
I love Lambert's.
It's great. Yeah, I don't understand why it works, but it's great.
Every time I come through, like, Missouri or where's the other one? Like, Foley, Alabama or something? Yeah. I'm stopping there.
There you go. I made them extra sloppy for you.
Anybody want any sloppy joes? Lady, you're scaring us.
Why? Why did Sloppy Joe Lady sound like Brian Johnson all of a sudden?
Because the first thing
would you like any pork rind nachos?
Can we get two brothers to start this? We're just going to start throwing tacos.
Start throwing pork rinds at everybody.
Here's some wings.
Yeah, wings, yeah.
Barton just comes in there and slaps you in the face with the prime rib sandwich.
Yeah. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning.
And they will not throw coffee on you.
If they throw coffee on you, that's a bit much.
Scones, though.
They might throw a scone. Throwing scones. That could have been that's a $1 million idea. Throwing scones.
So whenever they move a Strange Brew to Lambert, there you go.
There you go. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com is the website where you can get coffee delivered right to your door. Pip printing. Hand me that piece of paper right there. Pip, I don't know why it keeps getting on that side.
Why does it keep getting over here?
I don't know. I put it here every
day.
Who
keeps messing with
Jim
your
Ellis?
Office?
Jim Ellis messes with my office.
There's a proof bakery sheet in here. Okay.
Yeah, I did an ad for them for the other day.
Okay.
Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Long story short, guys, if you need to get customers in the front door, Pip Printing and Signs has a plan that they can put into place for you. Talked about Pip Printing and Signs earlier today. If you're going to listen to my interview I did with Alden Thornhill from the Starkville Derby, Pip Printing and Signs is doing some of the signage for the Starkville Derby. Where did he hear about them? On Thunder and Lightning. So it's how it works, guys. If you're a Mississippi State fan and you need printing, Pip Printing and Signs is going to give you great printing, great deals, and they're going to donate 10% of whatever you spend with them right back to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. That is something you cannot pass up. Call Camden Baker at 601-499-5216 to get going with Pip Printing and Signs. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Folks, we've been talking about all this new stuff that's going on, and you need to change your wardrobe up, all right? It's time to get rid of the banner rim and move on from that. All right?
Indeed.
Yeah, we cannot move forward as a university while y'all are still wearing the banner M. So help us out here. Why don't you get with the freaking program here?
Ooh.
And go and get you a new polo at College
Corner.
I'm, you know what? Sometimes I have to be. So College Corner, two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Robbie Falk and I ate at Restaurant Tyler yesterday, and you'll never guess what happened. It was delicious.
It was about as good as
I don't know what they did yesterday. Their cheese grits are always good, but yesterday's batch of cheese grits were extra good. Like, I could have eaten a whole plate just of grits.
Yeah.
They were good.
You had two pieces of blackened catfish.
I did.
With cheese grits and what, mac and cheese?
That do sound good.
I had the fried chicken.
Fried chicken.
With the crawfish sauce on top, of course. Mm-hmm. And the black-eyed peas.
Mm-hmm.
And what else did I have?
Yeah, mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
I normally don't get the mashed potatoes or the black-eyed peas, but I thought I'm usually a butter beans and sweet potato guy, but I wanted to change it up, and it was outstanding, shocking.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of like the Hair Club. We're not only telling you about Restaurant Tyler, we are also customers. We like to eat there. The food is good, and you're going to believe it. If you don't know it already, you're going to find out the first time you eat there. Make sure the next time you're in Starkville, you've got a trip to Restaurant Tyler on the agenda. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi. They're here to serve you. I wish we could, you know, we have all these great anecdotes about, you know, two brothers and Restaurant Tyler and strange. Like, Priority One Bank is just, I just say the same thing every day. It's like, we need to, you know, they need to give us some money. And then we could be like, Priority One Bank, man. They're great.
They're consistent. Their service is consistent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like your ad reads.
There it is. Don't tell me that Robbie Falk doesn't have a mind for creativity. He just came up with that right off the top of his head. Nobody planned that for him. Great job. Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. All right. Got a lot to talk about today. Baseball. First and foremost, the money at Vanderbilt. This is not your Vanderbilt from, you know, much as Mississippi State's not what they were 3 years ago, neither is Vanderbilt. This is just a good Vanderbilt team. 30-11 on the year. They're 10-8 in the conference, just like Mississippi State. They're hitting a little bit better than Mississippi State. They're pitching a little bit worse than Mississippi State. They're a good but not great team. They don't have some of those big mashers they've had in years past, and they certainly don't have those elite frontline starters that they've had in years past. There's no Tyler Beede. There's no David Price. There's no Rocker or Leiter on this. I'm leaving somebody out. Was it Walker Kohler? Was that his name?
Walker Kohler?
Wasn't that his name? Who am I thinking of? He pitched for the Braves, didn't he?
Walker. If you wouldn't mention anything, I probably would have had it. Or is it the guy that pitches for the Dodgers? And they're one that pitches for the Dodgers.
That might be it too.
You're supposed to know this because you hate the Dodgers. Tyler Beede was.
I mentioned Tyler Beede because he was with the Giants.
Who was the guy they had with the goggles?
Walker Buehler.
That's him. And was he the guy that had the goggles?
He's the Dodgers. Yeah.
No, the goggles guy. Remember like a few years ago when they won the national championship, they had the goggles guy?
I don't think that was him.
It wasn't goggles, but it was, you know, glasses.
Let's see here. They have 15 players currently in the majors. Where are they here? We don't have the names here? What are we doing?
Does State play at home next weekend?
Against the weekend of the 4th? Yeah, they have Alabama.
Okay, just wondering.
Who is the guy with the glasses?
Look at the 2015 roster.
Walker Buehler. Does Walker Buehler have glasses? This is a great podcast. Really one of the best.
Sometimes you get something on your mind and you're just like...
Carson Fulmer.
That's him.
Let me have a look at him. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does wear glasses. I forgot about Sonny Gray, too, and Mike Minor.
Sonny Gray... David Price was on that.
Well, he's the first one, really.
Sonny Gray and David Price were in the same rotation, weren't they?
1 year they were.
Oh my God!
Price
the players that they've
year.
Had is just. And I do like. I always wonder: are they going to continue to be able to do this? Because you know, the last few years they've been good, but they haven't been what they were.
NIL is cut into.
I think that this, like, the playing field is evening out for them. They had that whole. endowment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they'll still be good under Corbin, but the talent is not going to be at where it was, which it's kind of hard to sustain that. You had two guys that were – you basically had that rotation that they had in 19 and 21 mm-hmm. with Leiter and Rocker.
Mm-hmm.
That was generational.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, you know, LSU having Paul Skeens and Dylan Cruz on the same roster. Having those two in the rotation going back-to-back was something that you'll never see again
right.
at your school.
Yeah. So, like I said, this is a good team. They're not great. They're just good. Playing at home will be tough for Mississippi State. Going on, I should say playing on the road should be tough for Mississippi State. You know, Vanderbilt, when you look at their schedule this year, they got off to a really good start. You know, they got Auburn that first weekend when we didn't know what Auburn was. It's hard to look at this now. Auburn was 18th in the country when they played Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And they got the sweep. Then the next week, Vandy goes to South Carolina and gets swept.
I don't understand Auburn. I don't understand Butch Thompson. Like,
this is a weird year for them.
Well, and the pitching has not been great since he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that first year, the first couple of years, he had some dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been, like, so up and down with the pitching staff. I mean, it seems like every time State plays him, this year actually really wasn't the case for the most part.
Right.
It's like shootouts.
Yeah.
And it's really strange because, to me, Butch is a top five pitching coach in the country.
Mm-hmm.
When he's just focusing on pitching, and I'm thinking, you know, development of arms, being able to identify talent, he's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of strange to me that they have so many ups and downs, and their hitting has actually been their best attribute, I feel like, since he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
But, the ups and downs just really are strange to me. They've been to Omaha twice,
mm-hmm.
I think, since he's been there.
Yes, they were. Both times Mississippi schools were there. Both times Mississippi schools won the national title.
That's right. Ole Miss played them in the first game.
Yeah.
State played them in the first game.
Yeah, State had that crazy comeback against mm-hmm. them, yeah. So, back to Vanderbilt.
I want to talk about Auburn.
So, like I said, their first three weekends were weird. Sweep, get swept, sweep.
Yeah.
That was their first three weekends. And they took two or three from LSU. And then, so at that point, they're sitting at what? 8-3, 8-4. So, since then, they were swept by Texas A&M, got run ruled in one of those games, lost another one 9-0, and then lost 12-6. They came back last week and got two out of three from Florida. So they haven't been playing great baseball lately. It just feels like State, and I wouldn't say State's been playing great baseball lately. They have won four in a row. But this is one of those weekends, Robbie, my thought process is either State's going to go up there and do what they're supposed to do and get two, or this is a weekend where it just goes badly. I don't know which one it is. I lean towards getting two. I feel like State's playing good baseball. And the one thing I will say is this. Against everybody in the SEC outside of Arkansas on Friday night with Kyle Stephen, I feel like State's going to win. Now, when they play Arkansas in 2 weeks, I will not feel that way because I feel like Hagan Smith is the better pitcher there. But Stephen really gives State something on Friday nights that they haven't had since Ethan Small left.
Yeah. And my question is, what is Vanderbilt's pitching going to look like this week? Because last week they had the deal with J.D. Thompson, mm-hmm. had the substance on his hand or whatever.
That's right. Crisco,
Bardal,
Vagisil. Any one of them will give you an extra 2 to 3 inches drop on your
Jesus
curveball.
Christ can't throw a curveball?
All right, let's not say that name on the show.
Is he out?
Jesus?
J.D. Thompson? No. He's alive and well, my friend.
I couldn't resist.
J.D. Thompson, I think, is still suspended. I want to say that's like a several game suspension or something, but I could be wrong.
You keep talking, I'll look it up.
So that's a big blow for them. He's one of their better pitchers. He's got an earned run average, I think, under 3 runs. That's a huge blow for them. And then they have a couple of injuries that have kind of come into play as well. The guy that replaced him, McIlvain, who's been around for a while, he came in and started throwing warm-up top tosses the other day, and he got hurt mm-hmm. in warm-ups. So, you know, I think that they could have an edge when it comes to pitching, which how many times have you been able to say that
yeah.
against Vanderbilt? And this is not a Vanderbilt lineup that's, you know, some of the ones that they've had in the past few years. Like, this isn't a lineup that's going to drive the ball out of the yard a whole lot, hit for power. It's still a Tim Corbin team, and you know when they get on the bases, they're going to create some havoc there. He will steal every base that he possibly can, even if he's up by 15 runs.
Yeah.
So, and they play fast. They play really fast on that turf.
Yeah.
So,
NCAA rules state that a foreign substance ejection for a pitcher carries a 4-game suspension.
So he's out.
So he should be out for this weekend, yeah.
Because that was Saturday when that happened? No, Friday. Was it Friday?
Hold on.
It doesn't matter because
it's Saturday. It was on Saturday. So
he could come back Sunday.
He could pitch Sunday.
So he could potentially still be in the rotation.
No, no, he can't because it was Saturday's series finale. They played Thursday, Friday. So he can't pitch this weekend if that is correct.
That's a big blow. That's like State losing Cal Steven for the weekend. And while this pitching staff is not what we've seen – with Georgia, Ole Miss, or Auburn, it's not Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker pitching against you. State can.
They're talented.
They're good.
But they're
good.
Not. There's not.
It's
like,
a top five pitching staff in the SEC.
It's not a top five draft pick sitting waiting to face
you. And the SEC this year is not great. It's really not. We've found that out. There's like two really good teams in this league.
There's four. There's four. The top four are the top four in the country. A&M, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee are the top four teams in the country right now.
That's true.
After that, Vandy, State, Alabama
are good teams.
Florida is not really a good team.
Florida's not.
LSU's not good. Auburn's not good. Missouri's
not good. State's
not
a really good team. I mean, State can be a bad team at times.
State is the team that can beat you and can lose by 10.
To me, that's kind of the frustrations of this is we thought that this was murderer's row schedule, and it turns out that the SEC is just not very good this year.
Right.
And so you're sitting there looking at it, you could have won six other games.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting here at 16 wins in SEC play,
mm-hmm.
you're probably already a potential national seed at that
point.
Well,
yeah, you'd be 16-2. You'd be the number one, they'd be the number one team in the country probably.
They would be the number one team, yep. They would probably give them the edge over A&M because you would have won that series against A&M if you count one of those games.
Yeah. And on top of that, I mean, even if State wasn't – let's just say State was 12-6, right? Let's just give them two more wins. Let's say they win one of the Florida games that they gave away, and they win that Ole Miss game, right, on Saturday. It's the non-conference games that continue to haunt Mississippi State, and we've been talking about it for weeks. This is the week where if State does what they're supposed to do and they can – well, I shouldn't say that. I can't say going to Vanderbilt and winning the series is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But if they could do that
– you're changing your fortunes.
Well, then you're talking about possibly getting into the hosting discussion. All right, State currently sitting at 40 in the RPI. Vanderbilt is at 19. So if you go on the road and get two wins, that is massive. Your RPI – you're probably
jumping
talking about
probably
State,
10 spots.
You're probably 31, something like that. And then your next game is a Wednesday game against Ole Miss, who Ole Miss has Alabama this week.
That's a huge midweek game.
Huge. They need it. A neutral site win over a top 20 RPI team likely. Mm-hmm.
I don't think Ole Miss's metrics, like RPI, is going to change a bunch.
They play Alabama. It's not going to change at all.
Yeah, like I'm just saying like the rest of the season.
Oh, no, because, yeah. They play Auburn and LSU. They do play two lower RPI teams, but still.
No, if they could put like tank.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to be a top 50 RPI team.
Ole Miss is such a weird team. If they could just start winning games, they could host.
If they win,
but they're not going to do that.
If they win 13 games, they're going to get in the tournament
because they're 22 in the RPI. Which is the other side of that is State is 40 in the RPI. If they only win 16 games, they'll be on the bubble.
Yep.
So, but then State, after I said they have Alabama 17, and then Arkansas at 2 in the RPI. So State has some real opportunities. I think if State is around that 24-25 mark going into the Missouri series, they have a chance, assuming they take care of their business against Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
They have a chance to get in the discussion for hosting because, honestly...
But in 2021, we were saying they have a chance to get the SEC championship.
Missouri has had State's number.
They could have swept that series.
Missouri has had State's number for some reason over the past couple years. So
it's weird.
This series for State is big. They're all big going forward because State is in a position right now where if the season ended today, they would be in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. The D1 predicted bracket had them as the 2 seed over at Clemson. I don't know if you saw that, Robbie. They had them playing Utah first. Gary Henderson.
Interesting.
That would be a fun storyline for us to cover. Baseball America.
Last time they went to Clemson was 06.
I don't remember. Maybe. That sounds right.
I think it was 06.
The other side of that is Baseball America had State locked in, and Teddy Cahill has had State in this regional, I think the four previous projections, and that's in Chapel Hill, so the number 6 seed nationally, State going out there.
These projections always love Mississippi State and the ACC team.
They do. I mean, State's always...
They're always in Tallahassee.
State always goes to Tallahassee or to Clemson. They've never been to Chapel Hill. They've been to Georgia Tech, you know, because State's not going to be bad enough to, like, ship them out west, right?
Yeah.
So, if they're not hosting, because you're not going to put them in an S. That's the other thing, is you want to keep it relatively regional. Well, you can't send them to Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Texas A&M, or who else might host. South Carolina might end up hosting. But I felt bad for Georgia in that. Georgia's the number 9 RPI team in the country, but they were a 2 seed in somebody else's regional. I forget who it was.
The SEC production isn't there right now for them.
They're 9-9.
Yeah,
they're 21-1 out of conference. They did beat Clemson the other night. So
they did. They got the potential because I think their pitching's getting better, and they're getting a little more healthy on the mound, and then their offense.
So Georgia has here's the problem. Georgia has A&M this weekend.
Yeah.
And then they have Vanderbilt, and then they have South Carolina, and then they have Florida. Now, that's not as bad as Florida. By the way, Florida's 21-19. Their next 3 series are against Arkansas, Kentucky, and Tennessee.
Good chance they don't go to the tournament.
They'll go to the SEC tournament.
Yeah,
They may not go to the NCAA tournament,
which is insane. They were a top 5 team like a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
no business.
Should have just got one.
The series,
but just get. They should have held on to that.
Friday night, they should have won that game.
Interesting. We beat the rotation. It's out. Kyle Steven on Friday, TBA on Saturday.
Oh,
Durangelo on Sunday.
Interesting.
You think that's because Durangelo had to pitch Sunday this past week? They want to keep him on that 7-day rest?
I mean, maybe.
But maybe they just feel like... You know what? I know what they're saying there. It's like, we think Cal Stephen can win on Friday. Let's put the best guy out there on Sunday against whoever they got left.
What's Vanderbilt's rotation?
Cunningham, Holton, and their TBA on Sunday.
Holton has been their best guy.
Yeah.
That's been a guy that they've been wondering, is he going to move to Friday?
That's an interesting decision. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe Lamonis thinks that's their
best. Play a little chess?
I could see that.
It's interesting. It's interesting.
Well, if you do that, then now you're about to – you don't want to move around Durangelo too much.
Yeah. We'll see. All right.
But now you're about to put him on Sundays.
Yeah.
Again.
Big series for Mississippi State. First pitch tomorrow or tonight, I guess I should say, 6 o'clock over there in Nashville.
I like Durangelo in game threes.
I do too. He's better than almost every
game three pitcher in the country. He's going to be better than most game three guys.
Agreed. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. Brought to you by friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're fired up the grill this weekend, and you should because the weather is going to be fantastic, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I was at the grocery store today. Today was a good day to be at the grocery store here in Starkville because some of their corporate folks were there, and the meat counter was packed. I've never seen it that packed. You had a choice of everything, but they had some briskets out there, beef ribs, tri-tips, big chuck roast, everything. I was just like, man, some good-looking stuff out here.
And then Paul popped out from the corner.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Hey, man. You heard about Keyshawn?
Yeah.
Exactly. Paul Jones, man, that guy lives, breathes Mississippi State basketball. That's why he's the best at it. Anyway, beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. It's just as simple as this, guys. When you're in Starkville, if you want to have a great time, especially close to campus, Two Brothers is the place to go. Next weekend, Two Brothers will be definitely the place to go because it'll be a great place to watch the Starkville Derby, which is going to be a fun time. By the way, if you haven't seen it already, I talked to Alden Thornhill from the Starkville Derby. Got his interview just below this show on the podcast feed. Please check that out. And if you're going to be in Starkville next weekend, please make a trip to the Starkville Derby. It's for a great cause, and it's going to be a really good time. And then you can just head into Two Brothers and grab you a little bite to eat, and then you head to the baseball game. And, buddy, that is as full a Saturday as I can give you here in Starkville. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers. That's how you know it's for real. Because nobody can stay open that long if they don't take care of their customers. So if you need new technology for your business, you need to call Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192. Or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems helps your business do business. Another thing to do if you're going to be in Starkville is make a trip to Maroon & Co. I mean, I can almost plan your itinerary for you. Every one of our sponsors is a great stop to make while you're in Starkville. Maroon & Co. is no different. You need new gear. You need to get it at Maroon & Co. They have a selection like nobody else. They're the official provider of Bulldog Initiative gear. So if you want to dress in the coaches, the stuff the coaches are wearing, the pullovers, the polos, the hats, they got them there at Maroon & Co. You can't find that stuff anywhere else. Before you head to Dune Noble next weekend, you need to head to Maroon & Co. All right, here comes the part people might have been waiting on. Robbie?
Good.
You reported yesterday that Mississippi State is planning to do send out a fan survey related to football. To say that was met with some derision would be an understatement.
And I have to wonder the fact that it's not out yet.
Mm-hmm. Wonder if they're
did they scratch that?
They may have. Based on the reactions I've seen, that wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. Robbie, this is where I'm going to, one of the things I've started saying a lot of is that two things can be true at the same time. Mississippi State wanting to solicit fan opinion about the game day experience, about what they can bring to Davis-Wade Stadium to make the viewing experience more enjoyable is a great idea. It's a good idea. Makes a lot of sense.
I didn't understand why people got upset about the whole premise.
But because, and that's where the other thing that is true, you don't need a survey to tell you some things that need to be fixed, and they haven't announced those things to be fixed yet. You don't need a survey that tell you that the speaker system at Davis-Wade Stadium sucks. It sucks. It is not up to par of any team in the league. It's not an acceptable thing for any SEC football program to have a sound system as bad as Mississippi State does. And yet there has been no announcement that that's going to happen. The LED lights, I get that that's a process, but that's a process that should have begun already. And, Zach Selman's not to blame either. Or I guess maybe he shoulders some blame, but John Cohen is to blame for that, right? John Cohen is the guy who's like, when everybody else is starting to get LED lights, did he ever price them? Did he ever come up with this is our plan to get those lights in the stadium? No.
No, because with the last administration, we were told they're not that important.
They're not
we
that
have
important.
Other things. Yep.
Right. We have other things to do, like what? Yeah, that's the answer to that question.
Fix some things at Dune Noble?
Well, they found out at like one sink the water was 2 degrees too cold, and they were like, we got to fix that before we do anything.
But we never fixed the biggest issue in Dune Noble, which is the press box.
Right. Well, that's never going to get fixed. So here's what I'm going to say, and it looks like we're going to talk to Zach Selman next week here on this podcast, so maybe we can get some more definitive answers. What I would say is this. Again, I have no issue with the idea of a survey, of trying to talk to your fans and finding out what makes more sense to them. And I think fans need to realize this, that this survey isn't going to be like, would you like to see shorter lines at the concession stand? Or would you like to see a new sound system? Yeah, who's going to say no to that, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be more high-level stuff. What can we do to make this better? It's going to be, it's not going to be like a multiple-choice exam. It's going to be an essay question exam, I think.
I'll tell you what it is.
Oh, you know.
So, I think the whole premise has been kind of misconstrued a little bit. It's not, do you think we should get new LED lights or speakers? That's on the agenda. And we can argue that they should have done that. I think you and I are both on the same page that should have been done a couple of years, several years ago. Mm-hmm. The speakers should be done now. But that's not going to happen this year. For whatever reason, they decided not to do that. But they do have plans of putting that into place next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's already determined.
Mm-hmm.
The survey is not, should we get new speakers? That's going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
The survey is more, what would you like to see as far as a south end zone expansion?
Right.
Would you like it to be bowled in?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like us to tear down the M Club building? What do you want us to have rails in this section? Do you want us to have chair back seats? It's surveying the fans to see what they would most like to see happen inside the stadium as far as upgrades are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the speaker system and the LED lights, they know about. Mm-hmm. They know that that needs to be done. This is more gauging interest on what would be the best thing for fans, like in the south end zone or where they sit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot of people get upset about that and say that, you know, this is junior high level stuff or whatever. A lot of major businesses survey their patrons. What would you like to see us do better?
Mm-hmm.
Finding out what fans would like is not a bad thing.
Correct.
And I guess I don't understand the outrage from that. You can argue about when the stuff should have been done, and I'm right there with you on that. We've been beating the drum on this podcast since I've been on here just about LED lights, fan experience, being a better atmosphere. We've been doing that for a long time, and I'm kind of on both sides here. I'm kind of on the side of the fans where it's ridiculous that this stuff hasn't already been put into place,
mm-hmm.
but I'm also on the side of the administration in that they would like to make sure they get everything right.
Mm-hmm.
We want to build a south end zone that is going to be great for everybody.
Right.
That's going to make the stadium look great. That's going to make the atmosphere great. That's going to please the fans. That's kind of where they are right now. And I've seen a lot of people say, well, this is just kicking the can down the road. This is, you know, it's just going to change with every administrator's going to come here and change things. And I get that concern. But Zach Selman came in and I know saw some of the things that Mississippi State had in the plans for what they're going to do in the South End Zone. And he was not a fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
One of those was moving the press to the M Club building. He didn't like that idea
mm-hmm.
at all. And I don't know if this administration likes the M Club building being there anyway.
Right.
I think that building has its days numbered.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I understand the sentiments with the SEALs who have been incredibly generous in what they've done for Mississippi State, but it's time for that building to move. Mm-hmm. Because look around the SEC, how many places have a singular building or
none.
Something like that in an end zone?
None.
It just doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
Everybody's going to bowling in, mm-hmm. having suites.
And I'm not a huge bowling in guy because I don't know that State needs more seats. Now, if you want to put some premium seating there, but the idea of a massive entrance, the way that sort of what you have with baseball, that the big pavilion, I like that idea, but it's got to be something. This is the issue. This is where fans...
It needs to just be symmetrical.
Yeah, this is the issue with fans, is that, again, all these things are good ideas, and I like the idea of reaching out to the fans and getting their ideas. If you coupled that with, oh, and by the way, work began today to improve the speaker system. Everybody's like, yes, great job. Yeah, can't wait to see the survey. But because we can't get answers on that, people are upset. Because honestly, I mean, the last game was on Thanksgiving night, right?
Mm-hmm.
There should have been trucks there the day after Thanksgiving.
We've known about these speakers for a while.
We've known about it for years. And, you know, it should have been the day after the Egg Bowl. We're working on improving that. You know, they spent the whole football season getting the prices and getting the bids, and we're ready to go, and they weren't. And that's what people are frustrated about.
Yeah.
Because it feels like it's going to be another season at this point.
Well, it starts to get to the point where we'll believe it when we see it.
Yeah.
You know,
but when you're trying to get people to donate
money,
you're
going to have to put some things in motion here.
Yeah, when you're trying to get people to donate money, you can't say, oh, it's coming. You got somebody's got to be like, yeah, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Today.
I struggle with, like I said, I'm kind of on the fence at this point because I'm struggling with which side am I on here? Because I get the administration's thought process, what's going on right now. I've talked to a couple of people, and there is a potential pretty soon that the universities are going to be involved in NIL.
Mm-hmm.
And portions of your revenue is now going to be going to student athletes. Mm-hmm. I don't know when that's going to happen. That, you know, obviously you're going to have to get that into law, but there's a fear that we're going to have to start funding these student athletes. How much money do you put into facilities at this point?
Right.
Do you think that it's more important to have the facilities, or do you think it's more important to have the athletes? Because you're basically signing players for 1 year.
What that becomes, Robbie, is the money we're spending now on players. We're asking people to donate to the collective. It turns back around. It's like, now we need you to donate to this so we can get facilities. We're going to take care of the players. We don't need you to do that anymore. We need you to show up for our facilities.
Well, I think
people are okay with that because they're going to get benefits from that. Like, yes. You donate to this and you get better seats. Whereas with NIL, it's just like, we got to have the players, but you don't get anything out of it.
I just think for Mississippi State, you've got to do something about the things that you can tangibly fix right now.
Like, are you trying to say they should take care of what matters?
Yeah, exactly. If you if you're going to make that motto, but you're not at the point where you're heading towards the red.
Yeah,
you got money.
Yeah,
put it into fixing these aesthetic things that make your atmosphere better, that keeps you up with the Joneses. Because right now, State is falling further and further behind mm-hmm. on this stuff. Mm-hmm. We cannot even tell what's coming out of the speakers. Right. And that's like, that stuff matters. I don't, diminishing what that means to your environment and to the presentation that you give is just burying your head in the sand. You have to make sure that what you have in your stadium is adequate to the rest of the league, because when other people come to your school and they see that you don't take care of those things, that's the presentation that you're giving of Mississippi State University. And you're saying that these things don't matter, and you're saying your game day doesn't matter, and you're saying your football program doesn't matter, and you're not serious about athletics. Mm-hmm. So at some point, they're going to have to fix these things to make this a place that's a destination for coaches, for players, for people that are wanting to come to school here. You know, like, athletics is, to me, the most important part of a university right now. Mm-hmm. That's, look at the numbers Mississippi State had as far as incoming students mm-hmm. after 2014, after the 2021 Baseball National Championship, and compare it to, you know, after a bad football season. There is a direct correlation between the people that come to your school and athletics. Not everybody, but a percentage of your school is made up by people that are coming here because of the athletics.
Exactly. They grew up fans, and they, you know, because you can, honestly, this is the thing, people, you can get a degree anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, you can literally, if you want to major in accounting, yeah, one school might be a little bit better than the other, but for the most part, you can go anywhere and get a degree. It's where do you feel comfortable, where do you want to feel at home, and athletics play such a huge part in that. And you're right, when you have a speaker system that you can't hear anything on, that says we're not serious about athletics. It's something as simple as that. Just, we're not as serious about it. You know, we do this because
athletics is a window to your university.
It absolutely is. So.
And with the amount of people that are watching college sports now, mm-hmm. to look on there and see, you know, Mississippi State stadium in comparison to a lot of the other stadiums in the mm-hmm. league, and you know, the grass looks great. I think the north end zone looks really good. Everything else looks really dated. So, you know, at some point you've got to invest in that and show that, you know, you're serious about moving forward. And I think that this administration has done that pretty well. I really do. Like, I really don't have a lot of complaints about what this crew has done since they've been here. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of complaints prior to their arrival. I think that there's a lot of good ideas. I think they've invested money that hasn't been invested beforehand. But there's got to be at some point some action as far as the facilities and fixing up the stadium and things are concerned. Because there's a lot of things that have changed inside that stadium mm-hmm. since I've been alive, since you and I grew up.
Right.
There's a lot of things that are the same.
Yeah.
That M Club has been there my entire life.
About 40 years now.
Yeah. And, you know, the Jumbotron was added there, the video board, whatever, mm-hmm. was added there in like 08,
and even those
08,
are kind of dated
09.
Now.
Like, dated. It looks dated. Like the little, they have the banner thing up there. That looks like it's been there since 09.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's little stuff like that. It yeah. matters. It really does.
It does matter.
So, all that to say, this survey itself is showing that they're kind of getting the wheels in motion.
Right.
So I can't really, as it stands right now, I can't complain a whole lot about that when they're actually doing
it. It would go a long way if they would just fix
something. Just do something. Yeah. Just, you know, just like beyond the survey.
Put a little lipstick on the pig there.
Right. And while we're at it, we've had this conversation before. This whole, the Hardy thing, which has been in the works for 2 years, mm-hmm. the Duty Noble thing, mm-hmm. this has got to get the ball rolling on Mississippi State trying to make this a destination for concerts, doing cooler things like that. I've been pounding the table for this for a long time, and I'm hopeful this is just the start. Because on Friday morning, when tickets go on sale to the general public, I will put down a mortgage that this thing is, if not sold out on Friday, it will be sold out soon. Mm-hmm. And that you're talking about 20,000, close to 20,000 people that are going to be at that concert alone. This is something that Mississippi State can do several times throughout the year that is so easy to do and so easy to put on, and a moneymaker that is just like right there in your lap. So I'm hopeful that this is the start of something new as well. It's time for Mississippi State people to say, we can't do this. We hadn't never done this before. It's time to put that to the side and start to make Starkville a more of a destination place than what it is.
Yeah.
More of a place where you're bringing in, and all that it's going to do is draw more attention to Starkville, mm-hmm. draw more money, bring more businesses. It's going to change the entire landscape of this place.
Yeah. A lot to talk about. We'll see if we can get on with Zach Selman next week and hopefully get some more answers out of him. All right, guys. Back again on Sunday night after the baseball series. We'll talk to you then. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.